Hi, Haim.
Hello, Rebecca.
How are you?
I am good. I'm just waiting for the sunny weather to arrive.
Yes, and we all need a bit of sunshine. We're locked down in our houses, and that can be hard enough. And I've been finding when there's not a lot of sun that I can really it can really bring you down. So, I also thought that the sun is shining. It happens to be Mental Health Week. And so I'm very excited about the guest that you secured to come and chat with us on this week's episode.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. Because it's Mental Health Week, I thought let's talk to Gamage. They've been doing some great work in the field of mental health, and they've introduced some new programs, and they will really help by talking about this issue and addressing some concerns that we have. So we have with us Sarah Chamberlain. She's the VP of
Great.
Marketing and Donor Experience at Gamage, and she's going to answer all our questions.
That's fantastic. Okay, I'm going to get her on the line because I see she's dialing in now. And perfect. And we're going to welcome Sarah.
Sarah, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
We're very happy to have you and learn more from you about everything that Gamage is doing, how people can help themselves, how they can be there for everyone around them. So we're excited to do this.
Yeah,
Me too.
very excited, and especially because it's Mental Health Week. Sun is starting to shine because that absolutely seems to change everything, right? When it's overcast, it's definitely a lot harder to do work, to deal with family, to just stay inside. Although maybe that's a good thing when it's overcast and cold. It'll keep us inside a little bit more.
That's that balance of that need to physically distance ourselves and keep socially connected and connected to the things that make us feel good. It's a tough one right now.
Yeah. So I mean that really brings us to why we're talking to you. I mean, during this time and people trying to work from home, stay at home, what do you see are the biggest concerns?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll start with we're all a little bit more intimately aware of what it
Right.
is like to struggle with our mental health. You know, the difference between a lot of our experiences right now and somebody who's truly suffering from a mental illness, there's a difference, but we are becoming much more aware, as I said, to what it's like just to struggle. And I think for many of us, the struggle is varied. It's because we're trying to balance a lot more in many cases than we were before. I'm trying to homeschool. That should never have been added to my resume. I'm
Yeah.
trying to work full time from a screen, and that has its challenges, as we know, being online and upbeat and trying to be a leader for those who are going through their own roller coaster. And then there's others of us in our either ourselves or in our communities and friends, family who don't have work and who are stressed about the real practicalities of paying bills and putting, potentially food on the table and caring for loved ones from a distance. So the struggle it comes from a number of different angles, and in its additional pressure than what we're used to in a variety of ways.
Yeah, and I mean, we have more to ask you because this is a really in-depth topic. But I mean, from a point of view of being such a tremendous resource for us all, are you finding that the influx of people reaching out to CAMH has just grown? I would think so.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly, in as much as people accessing our digital resources, which we've
Right.
intentionally tried to proliferate as much as possible, and we can talk again about more about that when we touch on the campaign. And CAMH has spent years and decades utilizing our expert resources in human capital and research and in clinician expertise to really understand what tools and resources could be needed right now. And we've worked really hard to get those out there, and we are seeing that people need them. We're seeing huge increase in access to
Well, why don't
those.
we get into that just quickly,
Sure.
and talk about your Apart Not Alone campaign, because we've definitely seen that it's really spread and it's had a great effect. But we'd love you to tell us more about it.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, I mean, I'm as a in my role, I'm a marketer and a fundraiser. And so we had a moment at the beginning of this where we had to think quickly about what are we going to do right now? We're right. a hospital and we need help, but we felt it much more important that we take the approach of delivering hope and help to as many people as we could, because we knew the need would be, the need was developing and would only build. And so, you know, that was a poignant moment for us as a leadership team, for us as an organization to stay true to our values, but also as somebody who cares about content and words and the impact that messaging can have, especially at a time like this. You know, it was a very poignant moment. And fortunately, we kind of unanimously agreed this is the way we're going to move forward. So we very quickly moved, and for this group, you know, intimately well, how big a task it is to build a campaign out, a fulsome campaign. And we built it out in a week. And we built it out with...
your distance.
From a distance, I have an incredible team, not only at CAMH, foundation in the hospital who we partner with and we serve, but also we work really closely with our agency partner Camp Jefferson, and I get tingles when I think about how quickly and impactfully we were able to move forward. And so back to the point of this campaign though, it's called Apart Not Alone, and the point of that message is to encourage people to know that while we are apart physically, and we need to be, that's our responsibility right now to protect ourselves and everyone, we don't need to go through this alone. And in fact, we have a lot of resources available to people depending on what their experience is right now to support and help and connect and give that real feeling of togetherness. That's the sort of high level goal and hope that this campaign will give to the world.
And how did you roll out the campaign? Like specifically, how did you roll it out?
So we have a number of different assets that were built to go in market. And essentially our mantra was progress, not perfection. So we just built things as quickly as we could. And as soon as they were ready, we'd activate them in market. And the in market included a real concerted effort to work with organizations that were willing to support us and give us pro bono space, print and otherwise, as well as a paid effort to activate through digital, social. There's a TV spot and through print. And we're doing creative things like through our connections, you know, DoorDash is stepping up and we're going to put the
That's fantastic.
Copy on. So like any really opportunistic progress, not perfection. Yeah. Hopefully everything's spelled correctly, but
you know, it never is. There's always that one. But I mean, but what I love about it is you're reaching out far beyond your I would say the traditional audience, so that you reach absolutely everyone with this messaging. And, you know, your messaging isn't one of like, come buy our product. It's like, we're here to help. So that's pretty amazing.
Right. Yeah. I guess that really resonates, especially about, you know, brands stepping up and coming together, because it's also like a community, right? Everyone is doing what they can. So what I wanted to ask is, we see that brands are stepping up, they're sharing messages, they're helping out. Is there something they can specifically do to support mental health or improve it through their efforts, through their messaging, through their content, anything else?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing I'd like to start off with is, you know, the words matter. And so you see a lot of people referring to our need to distance as social distancing. What we actually mean is physical distancing. And the difference is really important. We don't want to dissuade people from connecting to each other in formats like this and in other ways. And that's a really important thing that we need to do to maintain our mental health, is to keep connected while we do the responsible thing, which is to stay physically distant. So that's one example of what I think is really important. And that is being selective, as we are, but just at a particularly important time to be careful in the words that we choose. I think aligning and having conversations that are hopeful and true to brand values are also really important. So we talked a bit about hope, and it's a hard time potentially to be finding hope. We don't need any help getting negative information our way right now. It's tough out there media-wise with the data and what's happening with COVID-19. So opportunities to be sharing and conversing and hopeful stories is a real another opportunity for brands.
I wanted to reference an article I had read the other day, you know, where people want to hear assurances from brands about things like, hey, we do have product available, we're there for you. And, you know, we're just like you said, a lot of hope out there. For the entertainment industry, like many others, they're facing challenges. There are business challenges, unemployment is there. There's so many other tough challenges faced by it. Where can people channel these stresses?
Yeah, I think it's important for people across industries, but particularly the entertainment industry, where we may have more percentage of folks that are used to being in some form of isolation through their creative exploration or otherwise, but we're now extending that time. And so it's important to go to include in this isolated time intentional practice to connect, to get outdoors, to make sure that we aren't diving deep into too much of a social isolation as we move through this. And, you know, I heard recently as well, someone speak about, you know, the additional pressures that some are putting on themselves to be exceptionally creative right now, and especially those of us who are creative by nature or by profession. This is not perhaps the time to be expecting ourselves to produce like we normally did. It's stressful. So the other thing is, you know, the practices that we're encouraging everyone to take, no matter what industry, including, as I mentioned, being intentional about connections, being intentional about activity, getting outside if that's possible, finding other ways to stay physically healthy as much as is possible, to practice meditation, to not be consuming too much media that may be negative in nature. It's important for us to keep up to date on what's going on, but we don't need to be spending all day in front of media, and to be checking in on our stress levels. We have some great tools on camh.ca in our resource hub that are easy to use to gauge stress levels and help give some, you know, suggestions on what to do if those levels are getting a little bit too high.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I work a lot with producers, TV producers, and you know, the activity, it's I've seen it go to this fever pitch pace where everybody is trying to figure out and every idea is being thrown out there. So it's all by Zoom or team, and everybody's firing at full cylinders, each department trying to pump out what they can in terms of how do we push out content or create content for our shows that are on air currently, you know, or maybe they're waiting to go into production. And then also just how do we come up with shows, should we be, you know, or content, should we be in this position for a long time? And I'm noticing a real drop off now, like a fatigue, because it's, you know, most people can't sustain that level of, it's like forced creativity. Yeah. And I know myself, when you are balanced about, okay, I'm going outside for a walk for 10, 15 minutes, you come back, that's when you can feel your best to create because you want to. But there is that real sense of forced creativity, you know, and I don't know, like, what would you recommend for people to, how they should just slow down and take a step back just to really concentrate on that balance?
Yeah, it's such an important example you give. Who knew that that break to stand up and go to the ladies' room was so important in our day? Like that minute.
Right.
To walk there and back and to have a connection with somebody else that's random and hopefully gives us a little heart and soul and then refocuses us. So we can't do that exactly, but how do we make sure again that we're intentional in our efforts to break up the day? The adrenaline rush is over now, as far as I'm concerned. We were in that phase for several weeks, probably longer than most of us have ever managed through it before. And you're right, it's fatigue. So let's be gentle to ourselves and each other. Let's not put pressure on each other to deliver beyond or even near where we were expecting before. It's just, it's a different world at the moment. And progress, not perfection. Ideas are great, but we don't need to figure it all out right now. And leading by example, we have this term at CAMH called normalizer in chief. And as leaders, and we can all be leaders, no matter what technical position we hold in an organization, we can lead by example and normalizing conversations about how we're feeling and how we're doing. And oh my gosh, like it's just too much today. I can't, I need a break. I need to go for a walk. I need to pat my cat. I need to rub my kid, you know, my kid's head, whatever it is. Let's be good.
Pat your kid and rub your cat. You know,
you knew what I meant. Thank you.
but this is an opportunity to reset the world, yes. Right? And bring it back to the basics of it all, which is we don't have to carry a lot of this baggage around mentally, physically. Like we really just can take the pressure off ourselves to try and achieve, and just be more mindful and more like kinder to each other.
Yeah. Kinder to ourselves too.
Kinder to ourselves, exactly.
I mean, I was just discussing it with my girlfriends the other day, you know, and we're just telling each other that there is this pressure to be productive, especially with social media, where everyone's doing something, you know, everyone's trying to lose weight or bake or create something new or build a business in this time. And it's okay to not do that. It's okay to just be. And it's something that I have to tell myself every day. And I have to remind my friends, and they have to remind me that there is no rush to just finish everything during this lockdown. It's just so important.
Well, listen, Sarah, we have absolutely loved talking to you. And I'm sure that it's giving a lot of people some peace of mind just to hear your words, see your lovely face. Can you give us a little bit more on the campaign, and then we'll sign off from there, just where people can go and what resources are available?
Yeah, so just remember, we're apart and we are not alone. CAMH.ca, there are a whole bunch of resources, some very tailored to a particular experience, helping parents with kids, how to talk about COVID, dealing with your own stress and anxiety. If you're a frontline care worker, and let's use frontline definition really expansively, tools that are specific to you. So go to CAMH.ca and please use as much as you can of that to be helpful and hopeful.
And brands out there, get involved.
Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah, reach out to Sarah.
Thank you. All right. Love to meet you both.
Thank you so much for being here and for everything that CAMH and you are doing for everyone out there.
Thank you so much. Take care. Stay well.
Bye. Bye. And happy Mental Health Week. Let's make this one count.
Let's do it.